Well, now to a story about the way schools are trying to help students understand the sometimes harsh realities of life. About 100 teachers and staff recently gathered at a junior high school in central Illinois to take on the identities of people living in poverty. Schools across the country have been using this kind of poverty simulation to challenge stereotypes. But as Illinois Newsroom's Lee Gaines reports, some say it takes more than a one-time simulation to change attitudes and behaviors.
We're inside a school gym in Mahomet, a small town in east central Illinois. Mahomet is majority white, and the median income here is almost $100,000. But today, the school staff has to figure out how to make ends meet over the course of a month.
I just got robbed by a drug lord. They're pushing me to sell their drugs, and I told them no, and they're threatening my family, and they took my Social Security card.
Natalie Back is a 7th grade history teacher. She was assigned the role of a 52-year-old Latino man with disabilities as part of this 2-hour simulation. The goal is to immerse participants in some of the realities of poverty. I ask Back to break character for a moment.
Does this feel like a game to you?
No, honestly, I'm feeling stressed. I mean, obviously it's not reality.
It may not feel like a game to Back, but Susan Roll says it certainly looked like one the first time she tried it. Roll is a social work professor at California State University in Chico. She says she and her colleague were excited about the simulation, but the first time they tried it with their students, it didn't go so well.
We were standing there and we were watching this go down, and we thought, people are playing poverty. Like, this doesn't feel right. And students were sort of silly about it and laughing and, oh, isn't this funny? And, oh, I beat you and I have more money than you. And, oh, there's the drug lord and he might try to steal from you. And it felt very uncomfortable.
Inspired by their discomfort, Roll and her colleague studied the simulation's long-term effectiveness. The researchers surveyed students about their attitudes toward poverty immediately following the simulation and then twice more over the course of several months. They found that changes in attitude didn't hold over time. And Roll says that without the proper context and critical thinking, the simulation can do more harm than good. Take Kim Senor's experience. Senor works as a liaison between Illinois' Springfield School District and families in that community. Springfield is about an hour drive west of Mahomet and has a median income that's half that of the small town. Senor says the simulation felt very real to her.
It's a lot, and it made me sick, literally, in the simulation. I passed out.
And she says that's because it mirrored her previous experience living in poverty after she left an abusive marriage.
Couldn't find a job to get up on my feet. I had these children. My child support was like $250 a month. And so it was a nightmare.
Senor says the simulation has helped her relate on a deeper level to the low-income families she works with. But not everybody comes out of the simulation feeling like that, especially without her background. Senor says some of the educators she knows, well,
they were very cocky about, well, we can survive this. And so that's what I saw. It was like, they really don't know. They just figured out a piece of it. It didn't offer any empathy or sympathy toward any families. They were just, well, if we could figure it out in 3 hours, surely somebody can figure it out that's been in it for years and years, which is not the case.
The nonprofit Missouri Community Action Network sells the poverty simulation, and they admit it's not perfect. They say the simulation is based on stories of real-life people and is supposed to start a conversation that breaks down stereotypes and drives civic action. But they say it can backfire if it's not facilitated correctly. Susan Roll, the professor at California State, says she made the simulation work for her by adding local data and stories to show how poverty affects the university community. I asked her if she's still using the simulation.
We're not.
And why did you?
I didn't feel like after a while I was getting my bang for my buck.
She says she now uses other strategies to help her students better understand poverty, including getting out of the classroom and into their local community. Kim Senor, the Springfield Public Schools employee, thinks that approach could work for school teachers, too.
Without a shadow of a doubt, we need more teachers going out and doing home visits and actually seeing what's going on.
Senor thinks the poverty simulation is valuable, but
it is not enough.
For Here and Now, I'm Lee Gaines.